This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We talked about David last week, that David, and I won't take the time to read the whole passage, David and his men had come back from a battle. They had come to the city they were living called Ziklag. When they were out of Ziklag, a group of Amalekites is a group of people, warlike tribe, nomadic. They came in and pretty much ransacked the town. In fact, they burned it. They burned the entire town and kidnapped everybody in it, took them alive. And so when the men came back and they saw that loss, and we've talked about loss, and we have seen loss, we've experienced loss, most of us know somebody that's been touched by this flood. And so we understand loss, and for many people, it's been just the loss of home, and that's still significant. The loss of home or cars or jobs or possessions or mementos, it's still a loss. And then David not only lost his whole home, they burned it to the ground, lost his family. His family's now kidnapped, and that's even worse. Because, you can build another home. You can't replace kids. And so his wife and kids are gone. And the Bible said that their first response was that they wept until they didn't have any more power to weep, which is a normal response. They cry. But then what we see is that David's men went from being grieved and just crying, they went to being bitter and angry and blaming, and they were going to kill David. They're going to blame him. There is something in human nature that blames. We just look for someone to blame. You know, when God spoke to Adam, he asked Adam and Eve, remember when they ate of the fruit they shouldn't have eaten, ate off that tree? Adam said, why'd you do this? You know what Adam saw or said? He said, the woman that you gave me. You gave her to me, Lord. It's she. And you know what the woman said? The serpent. And so it's, blaming's been around for a while. Have you noticed now in the city now everyone's looking for somebody to blame? Now we're blaming the urban developers. Now we're blaming the uncoding. Who should we blame? I don't know. Find someone other. Well, blame the devil. How about that? Yeah, just blame him. He's a good one to blame. We can blame him for anything because we don't even care what he thinks. So blaming happens. But then we see how David responded. Now, David did not answer the blaming people. Now, by the way, I want to say something. I said something last week that I need to retract. Every now and then I do that. If you talk a lot, you're going to say some stupid stuff. Although y'all know that, right? It's like all the time happened. I mean, all the time for you, Alan. All right. Here's what I said. I was talking about people who criticized Joel Osteen, and I said, I have no love for you. I think a better word for that is because we love people, right or wrong. I have no appreciation for you. No honor or esteem for you. Is that better? I asked her, I said, I didn't say that, did I? She said, yeah, you did. All right. So we're clear? Yes. We're good? That'll last me for another 15 minutes. Okay. David didn't answer the people that blamed. And then we see how David responded. And we talked about something last week. We talked about how David strengthened himself or encouraged himself in the Lord. And so as I was about to ready to move on from that, I don't feel like we need to move on to that. And tonight I actually want to do something just a little bit different for the first part of this message. I want to give you kind of a practical example of how you would do that. And in a more simplistic way. Because this phrase kept standing out to me. In 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, verse 6, let's read it. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. That's what people do when they're hurting. They lash out. Every man for his sons and his daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that phrase kept standing out to me, the Lord his God. Sometimes the Bible will use the phrase, the Lord, the God of Israel, or the Lord, the God of his fathers. But this one said, the Lord, his God. And there's real strength in that. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, when it becomes personal, it becomes powerful. And when you make the Lord not just grandma's God or Aunt Sally's God, or you know, someone else's God, Alan's God, Joy's God. When you make the Lord your God, when it becomes personal, is when it becomes powerful for you. David had a relationship with God, and that's really what we're talking about. It wasn't just a tradition. He had a relationship. And I want to just talk a little bit about that, because how he developed that relationship is so important, because in the middle of a crisis, he was able to go to God and get encouragement. Oftentimes, people in the middle of a crisis, they're crying out, they're nervous, they're afraid. But David was strengthened. And so let me just talk a little bit about relationship builders. You build relationships with three things: with thoughts, with words, and with actions. Thoughts, words, and actions. Your thoughts. It works that way, and it works that way in an earthly relationship. What you think about someone impacts your relationship with them. How your words are with someone, what you do. So if you think about so many things, most relationships have been built on the basis of thoughts. They're thoughts they're thinking. Maybe the thoughts are. Now, over the years, Joy and I have been married for 35. Over the years, my thoughts about her is I have a high level of trust in her. It's developed over the years. We have a trust together. I never come to church, or I never go home and wonder, who's she flirting with? And and I say that, and we chuckle, because if you think of Joy flirting, it's like, no. I did walk up behind her one day in the YMCA. She was on one of those elliptical machines, and I walked up behind her and pinched her on the rear end. She didn't know I was there. I pinched her on the rear, and you should have seen the look on her face. But I had a thought right before I did it. I'm like, I hope this is Joy. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. But over the years, so my thoughts, I don't ever have a thought of, is she running around on me? Is she flirting on, is she fooling around with someone else? And for those who live in that kind of environment, that's a tough environment to live in. But for those to have a rest, so our thought, she's not worried about me. Of course, she did tell me the other day, watching Hallmark, she said, I'm glad you don't look Hallmark handsome. I never had to worry about you. She didn't worry about me, period. I'm like, well, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. But the thoughts are, there's a piece in the thoughts. Our words toward one another have improved over the year. Our actions toward one another. We do things for one another. So relationships are built on thoughts and words and actions. Earthly relationship, your friends, your family, and then heavenly relationships are built the same way. Now, I want to give you a framework tonight just to build a relationship on. Sometimes we talk about the Bible, and I've been reading the Bible for years, and I think I make the mistake sometimes as a pastor of assuming that everybody reads the Bible a lot. You know, that's by faith, I'm believing everybody reads the Bible a lot. But and realistically, I realize that some of you are very new to the Bible, some haven't learned, and some haven't. And so I want to talk tonight about, it's just something simple you can do. I call it a framework to build on. You might remember Dr. Mark Rutland. He's a speaker that comes. He wrote a great book on the Lord's Prayer. And he's, by the way, he is coming back again. He called me during the middle of the flood. I said, Dr. Rutland, how you doing? He said, how are you doing? And I told him Lord had helped us. We were good. But he said, great. He said, I don't have too many friends. I don't want to lose them to drowning. I said, no, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He's coming, but he went through a very dark time in his life. And in the dark time in his life, he felt like he was under so much pressure, so much stress. He just felt like, his mind's about to explode. Some of you can understand that. He said, he's just on the edge of depression. He said, you could really just feel himself on the edge of a very, very even more difficult time. And he heard the voice of the enemy say, you don't have a prayer. He said, and he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak up in his heart, says, yes, you do. And he went to the Lord's Prayer, and he began to say the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis. Now, he said sometimes he would say it just hundreds of times a day. He said, well, why is he doing that? Because he's dealing with so much. When you're dealing with oppression, you need to have a place for your mind to go. and you need a framework. And so this evening, I just want to take this framework that I think for people who are dealing with difficult times, for people who are wanting to build a relationship with the Lord, I want to give you, I think, one of the best relationship psalms there is. And you're going to know it. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's probably one of the most beautiful psalms. But do we realize it's more than just a pretty psalm? And it's more than just a pretty poetry. It's life-giving. And it forms a framework for our thoughts. We begin to think thoughts of, this is who God is. He is, the Lord is a shepherd to me. And not only is he a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. And not only is he a good shepherd, but he leads me, he provides for me, he takes care of me. When I'm going through difficult times, he never leaves me, his rod and staff. He will get me out of tough times. He will bring my cup overflows. He's good. He's good. And it forms. But listen, what I want to talk tonight is, I want to talk about on purpose doing just a little exercise with that. Because it forms the framework of our thoughts. It then begins to form the framework of our words. That when we talk about the Lord, we talk about he's good. He's my shepherd. He's not just someone else's shepherd or someone who's a lot more spiritual than I am. He's mine. And he'll lead me. And so also forms the idea of our actions. So it becomes a foundation of our praise. So here's the relationship building exercise. I want you to learn to read the psalm out loud and read it not just once, but read it repeatedly. And then if you want to write it down or take it during the course of the day when you take breaks or maybe you're just out and you have a moment, take that psalm out and read it. And read it if you can, if you're by yourself, read it out loud. Say, why are we doing this? Jesus said this. He said in Luke 4, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Proverbs says that God's word is life to those who find him. When Dr. Rutland was having such a difficult time, what was he doing? He kept going back to God's word. He kept going to that, and it gave him, it brought life to him. He came out of that difficult time, but it formed a framework to come out. And so I just want to show you what that would look like. If you just decide, okay, I'm going to spend a few minutes. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to spend some time with this psalm. Psalms 23. You can take a verse and say, Alan, how often will you read it? Sometimes I'll spend 30 minutes on one verse and just go over it and go over it. And you say, well, wait a minute. Why do we have to do that? One, you don't have to do it. But here's what it does. Is we need to think about when we're just spending time with the Lord and taking his word, we need to think about, I'm not reading, I'm feeding. I'm not reading, I'm feeding my spirit. Favorite food of anyone? I know people have favorite foods. Anybody like steak? Okay, how about all you vegetarians and vegans? You have food you like? No, that's all right. We got vegetarians and vegans here. You like that food? That's fine. I got no beef with you. I got no bone to pick. But if you sit down to eat, I like steak. I enjoy a good steak. I like salad with a lot of stuff in it except for onions and bell peppers. And I like that, you know, some of these restaurants make macaroni and cheese like nobody made macaroni and cheese. That'd make a killer. So that's kind of like a favorite meal of mine. Well, when I sit down and eat that meal, I don't take one bite of steak, one bite of macaroni and cheese, and a salad and push the plate away. Why? Because I'm hungry. Because I paid for it. Because I'm going to eat the whole thing. In fact, my challenge with steak is sometimes my eyes are bigger than my stomach when it comes to steak, and I can get more. But what I'm saying is, when we sit down to feed, we don't take one bite, we eat. When you read the Bible, if you read a passage, you go, okay, I read the 23rd Psalm, I just read that, I don't need to read it again, take another bite. Does that make sense? You're feeding your spirit. You're getting stronger in your spirit. So if I'm, I just tell you what I do. I'll show you what I do. I just sit down. And I take Psalms 23 and I'd say, Lord, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then I'll go right back there. And I say, Lord, I want to thank you. And then here's what happens is, then you start to use it to praise him. Lord, I want to thank you that you are my shepherd and you are a good shepherd. And Lord, I don't want, because you are a shepherd, you provide for me, I don't want. Lord, I want to thank you that you make me lie down in green pastures, not where it's sparse. Lord, you take care of me, you take care of my family. I want to thank you that you lead me beside still waters. You know, sheep won't drink when the water's moving. So he leads them to still waters. You take care of me, you sustain me. Lord, I want to thank you for that. You lead me. Thank you that you lead me. You're showing me what to do. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And yea, though I walk, Father, through the valley of the shadow of death, I want to praise you that I will fear no evil because you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They may be there, Lord. I am going to eat right in their face because you made the table. I'm going to eat. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Not just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what I do after I do that? I'll go back and read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, here's what we've got to understand. You can say this passage, you can quote it, you can read it third. You're not going to wear it out. No. It's not going to get old. No. It's going to get life to you. Right. It will help you. And it forms, but here's also what happens. This gives you the framework. People say, how do I praise God? How do I have a relationship with God? You can take his words and go to him. Lord, I want to thank you that you are my shepherd. You are a good shepherd, and you're my shepherd. Does that make sense? Does that help at all? And it's just, now maybe you say, Alan, I've got another favorite passage. Well, what I want to encourage you to do is don't quote it once. Just make it a part of your day and take a break. Any of you ever take a break? And I won't ask for about a smoke break, but you take a break and you go grab something to eat, grab a cup of coffee, take a break and bring it out and just go over it again. I used to take it into the bathroom with me. It's a quiet place. And no one's in there. I'm reading. It's a good reading room. That's why I'm saying no one ever has an excuse for not reading 3 minutes and 45 seconds a day. You got a place to read, read. You can do that. But I would just take it and read. What am I doing? I'm taking a break. Remember, I'm not just reading. What am I doing? We're feeding. I'm feeding myself. David had a relationship with God. And one of the greatest things that you can do, one of the greatest things I can do as a pastor is to help you develop a relationship with God where it's not my God or Joy's God or Justin's God. It's your God. He's your God. He's good to you. He's your shepherd. He'll lead you. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. See, it's got to get down to where it's me. Sometimes you can hear somebody else, you can go, I wish that was true for me. Listen, when you find this verse, he'll be your shepherd just as much as he'll be my shepherd. He'll provide for you as much as he'll provide for me. He is fair, he is just, he is good, and he'll do that for you. Now, here's the thing. When you're in recovery mode, you need a place for your mind to go. And when you got thoughts coming, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? What about this? You got an aunt who's absolutely got nowhere to go. You got this situation. You got that situation. You need another place for your mind to go, or your thoughts will wear you out. And you need it. So this gives you a place. You just stop for a moment and go, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, yea, though I walk through, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy. What are you looking for? Goodness and mercy. Following me all the days of my life. You see, most people believe that something bad's about to happen. When's the other shoe going to drop? How about us believing that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life? So, Alan, how can I get there? You can get there the same way I got there. You can get there the same way Dr. Rutland got there. As you begin to take his word, and I just want to encourage you this week, just take a few minutes and listen. Don't say I'm gonna read that. I'm gonna do it for 30 minutes. Start with 5. Sometimes people jump off. You know who you are. You're the ones in January. You're like, you buy a tracksuit. You're like, I'm gonna run 5 miles today. And you pass out right by your mailbox. You know who you. That's a human nature thing. So I'm saying, don't do that with. Don't try it with 30. Now, if you've been doing this for a while, yeah, you can do it. You can go longer than that. But what are you doing? Remember, you're feeding your heart, you're feeding your spirit, and you're starting to develop your relationship with the Lord. This gives you a framework to talk to Him. Instead of just going, hey, Lord, here I am. Bless me and my family and all them other people. Amen. Nothing wrong with that, but let's expand that just a little bit. Hey, Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you that you'll never leave me over. And you just expand on it. And pretty soon what you'll wind up doing is you start to get this in your heart. You'll start to preach it to yourself. You'll be riding down the road going, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you know, when you're preaching to yourself, it doesn't matter what anyone else hears or says because you're preaching to you. And you can amen you all you want. You go, that was good. I like that. Say that again. I will. The Lord is my shepherd. So, Alan, you've spent the whole night talking about one verse. We're not reading. We're feeding. We're just eating. Bite after bite. Steak is good, or whatever vegan thing you like to eat. Nothing but love for you. This is something that you can develop. Why? Because you want to begin to develop that framework, that relationship where God is your God. I remember, and you many of you know the story of my daughter and my grandson. But I remember when the news hit and how bad it was and how awful it was, and Justin was in the room with me. He took one look at my face and said, we'll discuss, we were discussing something. He said, we'll talk about this later. And I remember I went into the prayer room. And when I went in that prayer room, this isn't Alan, the pastor. This isn't Alan, the speaker. This isn't, you know, Alan, the minister. This was Alan, the son, the child of God, talking to his father, telling him, I need your help. And boy, it was a tough time. But I knew I had a father. I knew I had a good father. And I'm talking to him like a father. Why? Because over the years we're developing, and by the way, I'm certainly not perfect and I know I'm not there. I want to continue to develop. That's the beautiful thing about God is you can continue to develop that relationship. You're never going to look at the Lord and go, I'm getting tired of you. That is never going to happen. You're never going to look at the Lord and go, I've outgrown you. That's never going to happen. You look at him and go, the Bible said in the ages to come, he'll be showing us the riches of his glory. In the ages to come, we'll continue. Just when we think we've seen it all, God said, I got something more. Look at this. will never exhaust him. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I hope this helped you tonight. I hope it made sense to you. I hope it gave you a little bit of a framework where you could take something and go. I appreciate your applause, but you know what would bless me even more? If you take a few moments and just do it. Now, here's the best way. If you want to start a new habit, here's something I learned new. I like the idea. People say, I'm waiting to be motivated. Don't. Say, like, if you want to do this, if you're a night person or say you're a morning person, say tomorrow morning at 6 or whatever time, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with Psalms 23. Amen. And write it out. And here's what they found out. If you will write out a specific plan for what you're going to do, you're 9 times out of 10, you're more apt to complete that than if you just wait to wake up in the morning and wait to feel motivated. Don't wait to feel motivated. You've heard me say, and when it comes to church, just go by default. We just make up our mind like way ahead of time. I'm going to church. Don't wait till Sunday morning because you know what happens. You want to go? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Are the kids okay? Yeah. One of them was a little snotty yesterday. Yeah, he's okay. He's all right. You want to go? I don't know. What do you want? Do you want to go? You'll talk yourself out of it. So ahead of time, just go, like on Thursday, go, we're going Sunday. See, how can you make up your mind ahead of time? Because I have a specific plan. And if you make a specific plan, you're a lot, it brings clarity. Stop looking for motivation, look for clarity. And you can get it. So just, if you want to take some time to do it, write yourself a plan. Say, I'm going to do this tomorrow, or I'm going to do this the next day. And it will help you. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. And Lord, I just thank you that your word is life to us. It feeds our spirit. It strengthens us. It's how we grow. It's the bread of life. And we thank you for it. Father, for those tonight who are just battling in their minds, thank you that there are answers. For those who feel so stressed and so worn out, there are answers. Father, for those that feel like they're so far away from you, they're not. You're with them and you never leave them or forsake them. And so, Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for helping our area recover. And not just recover, recover stronger than before. We thank you for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I'd like to. Or you say, I knew the Lord, I've walked with the Lord, but I've gotten so far away from Him. And I really want to come back. I don't even know how to come back, but I want to. We're going to say a very simple but powerful prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front or come down here, but this is a prayer for you. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to try to embarrass you, but that's you. And you say, Alan, I would like to have a relationship. I'd like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, or I want to come back to Him. I want to come and fellowship Him. Would you pray for me? Would you just have the courage to slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to? Thank you. Thank you. A whole bunch on that side. Thank you. I see you right here in the middle. Yes. Way in the back. Yes. Yes. On that side. Yeah. I got you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Hands just went up all over. Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really, really wanted to. I want you to pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it out loud. Pray it from your heart. And this is a heart prayer. And God sees your hands, but He sees your heart as well. So we're going to pray it with you out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you, Father, for those who have stepped back into fellowship with you, from those who have stepped out of darkness into your marvelous light. We rejoice with them at a wonderful thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.